My name is Cal Toth. I'm the secretary of the GHFL. I'm speaking as a member of the Goose Hollow neighborhood and as a resident. I'm a professional engineer, have a long-time career in the high-tech industry and with universities, a few of them anyway. I'm in general agreement that changes in ONI are needed. Here are some of my observations. But changing the name of ONI, I think, is premature. I think cynicism is building in the neighborhoods from the way the processes have been unfolded and reported. I think transparency and consensus is missing. I don't believe there's been nearly enough discussion, although the last few people did talk about land use related issues, zoning, impacts on neighborhoods and sustainability. In my experience, capable organizations learn from their customers, stakeholders, and the mistakes they make. They systematically make adjustments, okay, to how to or reorganize perhaps their organizations, their processes, their policies, practices related to the identified problems. I haven't seen that. I do not believe that consultations with the associations and neighborhoods have been nearly enough. It's another observation. I encourage City Council to defer making a name change until some of these problems are addressed in a more open way. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon. How are you today?
Well, thank you. My name is Nick Clark. My major concern is that is whether the renaming of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement will strengthen or weaken the relationship between the City of Portland and the neighborhoods. If you decide to support this change, how will the City Council ensure that the neighborhoods will continue to get the support that they need? I served as Vice President and Secretary of the Goose Hollow Foothills League, was a board member of the Neighbors West Northwest, and have lived in Portland all of my life. Here's a picture of me in the 70s. I've been volunteering since I was three. This is during planting trees in Northwest Portland on 23rd.
I don't know if you can see that. There you go.
I've witnessed a wide range of community involvement, including parades, cleanups, the Central City Plan, voting on critical issues, grants, parking, livability, the vision of the new reservoir. Generally, this neighborhood forum has provided me with a greater respect for what a large role it plays in the character of the city, its safety included. Many of the issues and subject matter that we tackled involved the assistance with records, resources, counter views, strategy, insight, and answers to complex questions, historic data, prioritizing our focus and balance, all of which would have been much more difficult and burdensome had it not rested on the coalition staff, Neighbors West Northwest. Most of all, I learned the great value about the public process. I applaud the coalition for their time and knowledge and the management that they've provided us. I think that I haven't heard anything about the coalitions around the city of Portland and the neighborhoods that serve them today. The city treasures its neighborhoods and the coalitions that support them, I know. CES Wood once wrote that good citizens are the riches of the city. To add to this, good citizens need neighborhoods where they may flourish. I trust that you will ensure that we continue to be a neighborhood-driven city that seeks input from the citizens, not just the ones with the loudest chirps and caws, but those who add to our character. Even here today, I've learned much about the needs of underrepresented populations, and I think it's necessary that we do change the code. Personally, I don't know if the name change is going to affect that, and that was really my main concern, whether the relationship with the neighborhoods is and the city of Portland is going to change. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Roger Leachman. I serve on the board of the Goose Hollow Foothills League, the board of the Neighbors West Northwest Coalition, and on the ONI BAC. I'm speaking here for myself as a citizen. And I can
I would also say that I won't repeat the arguments of the two representatives from NWDA, our neighboring neighborhood association, because they're quite true and quite eloquent, and that they speak to the main problem here, which is the process, rather the lack of process. Now, as my friend Stan Pinkin, president of the Pearl, emailed me Monday as he was flying off to Canada, "This whole thing is ridiculous," referring to the name change without process. I'm sure that was also the reaction of the unnamed taxpayer who complained in February, "Stop wasting time and money on a name change." Assuming he or she has since learned that $25,000 of taxpayer money went to a PR firm connected to the commissioner in charge of ONI in order to produce some spiffy fluffery and puffery. Here, blank pages, your own moleskin, courtesy of your tax dollars, and I'll come back to this one later. $25,000 would have bought a whole lot of public process, a convening of a citywide meeting for neighborhood associations and interested and affected parties. I suggested that to the director months ago. Talk about what ONI's direction should be. I'm all for inclusiveness. We are an inclusive neighborhood association. Not considered. Not happening. Why? Because I would say, despite the rhetoric here, there is a complete disconnect with, and I would say also expressed, contempt for grassroots democracy on the part of this bureau. This puffery actually uses the phrase power for and from the people. Well, no, not if you are a member of a Portland Neighborhood Association. The city's official practice through ONI is to disenfranchise its own citizens. They can't act, only a board can, and hardly anything is more calculated to destroy participation and involvement. That's what happens in a lot of neighborhood associations that I'm aware of. That didn't happen in Charlottesville, Virginia, where I was one of the founding members of my association. This is not power for the people, nor is it letting power come from them. In 2005, a neighborhood leader asked if this were a system of grassroots involvement or part of a city bureaucracy. ONI has answered that it is the latter. They want it that way, they like it that way, because actual power for the people could mean the bureaucracy could not control them and the terms of participation. And that has been exemplified by the fraudulent process.
Thank you.
That has brought us, the no process has brought us here today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
My time's up, so I'll have to stop there.
Thank you. Next three, please. Commissioner Udaly, did you have a comment? Next three, please.
Oh, the last two are Charles Bridgecrane Johnson and Cora Crescent.
I want to bring Silk back up.
It's a good idea. Yeah. Good afternoon.
Hello. I'm actually the second. Does it matter what order
Doesn't
you go
matter.
Into?
Doesn't matter.
All right. My name is Cora Crescent. I'm currently a graduate student at Portland State University, the daughter to a Peruvian immigrant, and I just wanted to share some of my opinions. I'm a renter, and I live six blocks from here, and I have rented in this neighborhood, and I don't feel any less valued in my neighborhood. So to start off, I wanted to say that I hear a huge focus on people of color, immigrants, and marginalized communities, and the engagement from government to those communities. But I have to say, when coming here, I felt marginalized. I feel like this decision has already been made, and the same people who are critiquing our federal government for not including the people and the communities, I feel as though I walked in here and the decision has already been made, much like the people in our federal government. I feel quite powerless as a student who lives here in my own neighborhood. I think this is also not an emergency, and to pass something so fast is exactly what our federal government is doing. They're not letting the people have time and proper notice, and are we going to be any better than them if we do the same thing? I feel like we're sending out two different messages. And also, I want to know if you guys have heard about The grant to Portland Police Bureau from 2014, WYBX004, granted a few million dollars for these same messages and these same goals. A lot of them overlap, and I just want to know if you guys are considering those millions of dollars being poured in and how we can work with the funds already being brought to us and given to us. And we don't have to be like the federal government. This is a chance. We can start this right by having the people that we say that you want to include. But I feel just as powerless as someone. I don't feel like I have a voice. And that's the message that we're sending when we have these meetings so fast. You know, I'm dressed like this because I didn't know this was going to happen way in advance. And the meeting got changed to 10, and then I got switched back to 2. And there was very little transparency. And I just don't think we should keep repeating the history. We have a chance to start this off right. We should have this starting right with full inclusion of people, with a proper notice, and doing this each step at a time, not in a rushed emergency. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Let me ask you a question, and it's, I'm somewhat arm's length from the process itself, but let me get to the resolution, because my question today is really about do I support the resolution or not? And as I'd indicated, I was somewhat prompted by some of the prior testimony and concerns that were expressed. I thought they did a really good job of expressing concern about the unknown and where the resolution leads and what kind of specific policies will be brought back to the council, presumably for final approval, and what the inclusion process will look like. The resolution itself, as I read it, is, to my eye, it's pretty straightforward. And the categories listed in there are categories that, as I read it, they make good sense to me in terms of inclusion. Would you feel more comfortable knowing that we're not actually implementing code, except the name change? And we can, people can debate the name change. I'm sort of in the Hollister camp on the name change. But with regard to the resolution, where the meat of this is, it actually just empowers the Bureau to go out, follow the guidelines in the resolution, then come back to the council prior to any code. Knowing that, does that in
Will
any
the
way
speaker
alleviate your
yield for a question?
It's your time. I'm just
okay.
Musing publicly. I'm curious about your feedback.
That's so fair. I just want to know if it is, and I'm not saying I disagree with anything in it, but why are we doing exactly what our federal government is doing by having this meeting as an emergency? So many things are being passed that we don't hear about in the media, and this could be one of those things, but if we do it right, then it won't be one of those things that people say, oh, if only I had known. And I feel like even Speaker Chloe is pushing the in-groups and out-groups, and to attack a white male because he doesn't look a certain way. Not all disabilities are visible, and I just want to address that. And for you to attack Mr. Submarine back here, I don't think was very fair, because as we're talking about with disabilities, not all disabilities are visible. And for you to assume that he is completely able-bodied and snap at him, I didn't feel it was very appropriate.
I didn't attack him, and I'm going to presume competence of everyone who comes before me with testimony.
I agree. I just think we should not push people into in-groups and out-groups more than they already are, because it does take a lot of courage
to
come up here and talk to you. And it's a little scary, if I'm being honest. And that's all.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Appreciate
you
being here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, commissioners, cesspool directors. So,
not everyone gets that reference, Mr. Johnson.
It's so covered in the, I mean, all the media is so
over,
much running with Daryl Turner's cesspool remarks that I think everybody has to get it. And that actually does relate to the neighborhood associations. Different people at different places like to say derogatory things about any of y'all, maybe particularly Ted or Choo Choo Charlie that came before him. But we have thousands of people sleeping on the street. We have a police association president who's terrified that some business is going to have poop on their doorway. The neighborhood association system is a part of that. Its brokenness is a part of that. When we talk about, we've had some talk about what are inclusive neighborhood associations and blah, 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 blah. And I don't know exactly the nature and scope of the process on this name change from ONI to OCCL. but something is needed. And when we talk about neighborhood enclosures, we need to actually have some facts, like are 90% of neighborhood associations chaired, directed, boarded by people who are all above the median income and primarily white? Recently near Hazelnut Grove, there's been some community growth and experience about including highly poverty-affected people in the neighborhood association. So something is needed. We can embrace a new name, OCCL, and try and build inclusion. If we are just resistant and saying, the city of Portland that has thousands of homeless people and that happened under the ONI scheme, let's just keep that. That doesn't make very much sense. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to, Mayor, I'd like to ask Director Rhee back up to the table. So, as is frequently the case, there is some misinformation and misunderstanding in this room, and I just want to make sure that we all have the facts, knowing full well that having all the facts does not mean that we will all be in agreement. But it's really important to me that when we have these conversations and debates, that we all have the same information. So, Director Rhee, if you could just repeat the public process that the Bureau went through with the name change. And I'll just start by saying the name change has been in conversation for several years preceding my joining City Council.
So I won't be able to speak to all of those previous conversations, but you could actually look at a document from about 10 years ago called Community Connect that actually spoke to the reasons why Office of Neighborhood Involvement does not actually reach all Portlanders and that we actually need a more representative bureau. So you could, and I'm sure those conversations preceded even that. We made the announcement that there will be a public process for the name change in January. It was in January and February. We did a online community survey, which was covered by many, many sources, Portland Tribune, Willamette Week. We received many, many serious and not serious responses. And then we also held two focus groups to also in that same time frame, to which everybody in our database and our partners were invited to. So it and interestingly, many of the presenters here today who actually talk about the lack of process participated in those processes. They came to, they submitted things online, they came to the focus group, and then also we talked about it at every meeting that we had, whether it was the Bureau Advisory Committee or any other invitation that we received, including specifically the Goose Hollow Neighborhood Association. Thank you for inviting me to your meeting earlier this year, and I did come and attend. Northwest Neighbors, also at the board meeting, we discussed it. I was invited, and also we discussed that. And so it is true, though, that not maybe 650,000 Portlanders all received that notice. Maybe they didn't read the Willamette Week. Maybe they did not read the Tribune. Maybe they did not get an email directly to them or forwarded to them or saw it on Nextdoor. But there was an open and public process to which many people did participate.
Second, about our renaming and rebranding, we actually spent a small fraction of what's typically spent on an effort like that, including other bureaus. So I'm actually very proud that we were able to achieve that with such a small budget. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly more than a pamphlet and a notebook. If you could just explain, sorry to put you on the spot, mm-hmm. All of what Fort Wick did for us, because it involves all of our collateral, printed material, website, et cetera.
Right. It was Fort Wick was also a partner in actually some of the public outreach handling the focus groups. But it's also synthesizing not just the input that we received in a limited time between January and May of this year, but also reviewing all our foundational documents and going back to other community reports, of which there are many, and synthesizing some of those community inputs. In addition, Fort Wick was also provided a style guide, standard operating protocols, templates, and many back-end technical pieces of support that are involved with not only a new visual identity, but also introducing the concepts that the visual identity represents. I hope that answered your question.
That's actually more than... do you have a question on that? Because I have a couple more.
No, go ahead.
May I just ask one thing? That notebook, I just want to say, we were actually very modest in what we chose as collateral material. Those notebooks, for example, the reason why we chose notebooks is because people actually need them and use them, and we're going to be integrating them in the giveaways to families. We're thinking about all our collateral materials that could be actually useful to community members, so notebooks and pencils that could be part of back-to-school packages during National Night Out, which we hope to deliver to families and communities.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I think finally... I just want to say, if my intention was to dissolve our formal ties and withdraw support of neighborhood associations, this is the time that we would be doing that. This rumor has been around since I took over the Bureau. It precedes your arrival at the Bureau, and it's been fomented by certain members of the media who have never actually asked me what my intention is. So now that it's on public record that I do not intend to burn down the neighborhood association system, although the more it was suggested that that was my intention, the more I thought maybe it wasn't such a bad idea. I would like you to state your feelings about our neighborhood association system and how you see them working with us as partners moving forward.
So we have said publicly many times, in writing, in person, many different ways, that no, there's no intention to dismantle neighborhood associations. And in fact, our recent efforts, many that you do not see behind the scene and I wish could get covered in the media, is that we've only worked within the Bureau in the last several months to put our neighborhood program in a stronger connection with our other programs. Neighbors should receive the benefit of all of the programs that this Bureau provides, whether it's crime prevention. And actually, yesterday, I believe, our Portland United Against Hate program coordinator met with 8 or 9 neighborhood associations specifically around their efforts. We've been actually offering from our alternative shelter program outreach and invitations to work with neighborhood associations and coalitions addressing homelessness. We're asking all our programs to actually work and collaborate more together. No silo thinking, no single one-person programs. And in order to facilitate that, we actually moved our people. Our neighborhood program coordinator used to be in City Hall. Our crime prevention staff, 13 of them, who actually work with neighbors in their neighborhoods and in neighborhood associations, were on the east side at our Kelly Building. We actually physically moved our people so they could be co-located, so they could actually talk, think, work, and deliver services together. In addition, it wasn't just putting crime prevention and our neighborhood program back together. We actually also moved our whole community and neighborhood involvement center, which includes youth, disability, immigrant or refugees, and mental health, to be co-located so actually we can serve all Portlanders better through all our programs. And I would say, though, that do we have the capacity to actually deliver all our good work and all our great messages to everyone at once simultaneously? No. That's why we've fought for strategic communications as part of our request for organizational support this year. We received that. Thank you, Council, for doing that. And so intentional communications has not been a strength of the Bureau, and that is one area where we're trying to structurally address it for the future.
Thank you.
Commissioner Saltz.
Commissioner Daly, I think your line of questioning was similar to what I was going to ask Director Reed. Just, you know, what is the end game here? And it's not to do away with geographic-based neighborhood associations. That's what I'm hearing both
right.
of you say.
Also, let me also share with you.
Not, I mean, that's
yes.
not part of the end game. Let's put
no.
it that way.
Also, okay. I came up as a community organizer in my professional life, and I see the value of place-based work. I see the value of communities coming together for a host of different reasons. And also, there's nothing a bureau or city government can do when communities come together and they identify strongly with each other, are organized, have identity, are relevant and credible, and deliver good things for the city. There's nothing a city can do to prevent that, and we're going to do everything we can to support that.
Yeah. Okay. And then the resolution speaks to coming up with a voluntary guidelines for best practices. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been around here long enough to know that ONI's been at best practices for at least the entire 20 years I've served here on City Council. So my question is to make sure that these are intended to be voluntary best practice guidelines, not to migrate to some sort of criteria under which a district coalition might be funded by the Office of Community and Civic Life or something like that.
I'm sorry, can you restate? You just want to clarify there will be voluntary guidelines.
They will be voluntary.
Yes.
Like I said, you know, we've been at this a long time.
Right.
Cities always like to out best practice each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure there's a whole wealth of data out there about what's a best practice. I guess I don't want to see that become sort of the an enforceable funding requirement or an enforceable rule on a district coalition in order to receive funding that they must, you know, have A, B, C, D, E best practices. That's not where we're going here.
This is actually, that's what we're trying to correct, sir. Right. Right now, we actually say you must do have this type of board representation, follow this grievance process, et cetera. And so they are codified in the ONI standards and referred to in the code. So actually, we're trying to correct the situation and go toward what you're suggesting. Is that actually we have the wisdom of today, but we don't know what tomorrow brings. We actually could not have imagined Me Too, Black Lives Matter, Living Cully, Coalition of Communities of Color, many forms of the way that communities organized 20 years ago. So we are not trying to predict and prescribe. In fact, we're trying to say we will need to adapt continuously, and communities will determine the right methods and approaches and their own governance. And so we want to respect that. So we're actually trying to get to back to, because they were once voluntary, best practices.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I think it's Mr. Velke, he raised a good question. What happens when some organization that we don't like seeks our accreditation and approval and support and involvement and access to funds?
We don't currently do that now. Actually, the fact of the matter is that we, as a city, I would use the word recognizing quotes, we acknowledge everybody who comes, whether they're an individual or two people, a group or larger. We don't have to affiliate, associate, endorse, invite in. There are many ways that the city currently says, we see you, but you cannot do this type of behavior in council chambers. We see you, we may agree with you, but you may not be the recipient of funding. Or we actually see you and we agree with you and here's funding support and it's limited to this scope of work. We currently do that right now all the time. The code change will actually get to more accurate reflection of reality instead of pretending that we can only recognize one type of group at one certain time and that we would, and that is the extent of our ability to recognize. So did that answer your question?
I guess I had one final question, and that is, do you see any potential charter changes coming from the guideline review, or is that something that would have to be considered too, or are you looking at?
I am not going to predict the wisdom of this very wise committee that will soon hopefully be convened.
Could I just acknowledge something? And I want to get one. I mean, as I say, I've read this resolution now, I don't know, four or five times. And my first reading of it was very non-offensive and very easy to get my arms around. And it requires a group of people to go out and consider the various issues and then come back to the council. I mean, that strikes me as non-controversial. But I think we have to go one level deeper here. And I really appreciated the gentleman who stood up and openly and frankly acknowledged fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. And I was really interested to hear him say it in just that way, because as I've been thinking about what's going on in larger society, and we are a divided society, and people are really angry with each other, and I think a lot of it is fear, and it is fear of the unknown. And as we undertake this process, I want to be mindful that it is not a zero-sum game. By bringing new groups to the table and by broadening the net of inclusion, and I think that makes sense for a whole host of reasons, I think it's equally important that we say that the process is not a zero-sum game, and it will not be disrespectful of those who dedicate their time or their talent or their energy to the traditional neighborhood associations. If that's the way certain people would like to engage in their community, I'm all for it. And that's how we've done it since 1974. And by and large, it's been a successful process. We acknowledge Portland is changing. It is becoming bigger. It is a big city. It is becoming more diverse. There are more different ways that people would like to engage with the community. And you're broadening that net. But could you say something or demonstrate to those who have expressed concern that this is all coming at the expense of neighborhood associations? What can you say to allay their concerns?
I
saw it as a both and, but clearly not everybody agrees with me in that interpretation.
I believe you're reading and interpreting the resolution as intended, Mayor. I don't know what actually I would like to hear. Honestly, I can say it's already been said. There is no intention to dismantle neighborhood associations. We respect many neighborhood associations, and we also respect all our community partners who come in a different way, shape, or form. The fear of the unknown, I don't know what to say to somebody because we cannot predict the future, and I do not know what that fear is based on. I don't know what they may have heard to be so fearful. But what I can say is if you have not shared that directly with me, I invite you to. If you feel that the gentleman who talked about the end zones and wanted to be in the middle, if you fear that attempting conversations where we could all come to the middle is not possible, then I'm not sure what I can say to address that.
Let me throw an idea out, and this could be good or it could be bad. It's thinking on the fly, which is a dangerous proposition for me. A number of people talked about inclusion in the resolution process. Are there more opportunities for people to participate and have their voices heard?
Inclusion in the resolution process?
Yeah, because we are resolving that we're convening this code change committee. They go out and they will set the voluntary guidelines, et cetera, per the whereas be it resolved statement in the resolution. Is there opportunity for people to participate, to have their voices heard, to help shape that process?
Absolutely. I think it will also be a multi-layered approach because many people will come to a meeting and many people will not. And so I believe there will be ways to participate online or maybe through existing formats and meetings. There will be intentional outreach events, and there will also be but there will not be a committee of 650,000 people. So there will be a smaller group that represents a cross-section and of the diversity and who are interested. And I would also hope to attract people who currently, for whom this is not on their radar, but we would like for them to be interested
conversation. How can they find that out? Where can they go? Is there a website? Where if somebody's just tuning in right now and they're like, this sounds interesting to me, where can they go?
Right now, there is not a website. We are taking it one step at a time. We would like the ordinance to be passed. We would like the resolution to be passed. And then we need to actually engage our team internally to actually propose the process. So at this point, contact the Office of, hopefully, Community and Civic Life. But the actual process and the portal for how to signify your interest, get more information, is to come.
Okay.
So there is nothing hidden about a process that is yet to be revealed.
Can we develop that? Can we at least commit that once that decision is made, it will be on the city website?
Of course. I'm sorry if that should needs to be. Of course. The PortlandOregon.gov website, of course, our bureau website, and we're trying to build our capacity to actually get beyond our usual circles, which are people who tune into the city and the bureau.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate that. Colleagues, anything else? So we are going to vote on the resolution. We're going to hold off on the ordinance until Commissioner Fish can tune in at 4 p.m., which is 20 minutes. Commissioner Udaly, this is your show. We could either wait for both for another 20 minutes, or we could run the resolution now.
I think we could go ahead and run the resolution.
Very good. Carla, please call the roll on the resolution.
Seltzman?
Well, I'm pleased to support this. I think it's... There's a lot of reasons, I think, to have a fresh look at our guidelines and how we do business with our residents and our neighborhoods. I do believe there is, you know, a continued role for geographic-based neighborhood associations, but I also think there's a lot of other community interests that are sort of knocking at the door to be as involved as many neighborhood associations are, and I think having a group look at some of the best practices or the guidelines is a good, healthy step that needs to be undertaken every once in a while. And I have confidence in Commissioner Udaly and Director Reed that they will conduct this process in an open manner and that will involve all of the council as it progresses. Aye.
Udaly.
Well, I'm going to go off script for a minute. First of all, I want to thank everyone for coming and for testifying today. I want to apologize for the level of irritation that I reached a few minutes ago. It's hard not to get defensive up here sometimes, but when you get defensive, the first thing to go is compassion, and I really do strive to listen to everyone who comes here with compassion and try to reach understanding. That said, it's been frustrating the amount of kind of misinformation being spread in public about this, and I've been surprised by some of the feedback that we've received, considering that this ordinance and resolution seem fairly non-controversial and are such a positive evolutionary step forward for our bureau. I was given this bureau by the mayor, not with edicts, but certainly with firm direction to address the issues that were brought to light by the audit. I've brought in new leadership. We've undertaken a reorganization. I think the climate of the Bureau is much more positive than it was 18 months ago, and I'm proud of the work that we've done. I also want to use myself as an example of how we're not serving all community members. As a mother of a child with a severe disability, I consider myself an honorary member of the disability community. And over the last 17 years, I have learned many hard, painful lessons about how ill-equipped our city and our communities are to receive people like my son. And at some point, I realized that it was perhaps unreasonable of me to expect the general population to understand the unique needs and challenges that people with disabilities face if they had no direct lived experience. It's a really complicated, I mean, disability in particular, very complicated. People have varying needs and varying abilities. And so I realized that, you know, part of my job as Henry's mom was to advocate for him and try to build understanding and acceptance and inclusion in the larger community. The goal being that one day the community is ready to receive people like my son and understand his needs and challenges. And I really feel that's what we're facing today across the city, but in particular ONI / Office of Community and Civic Life. Okay, now I'm going to switch to my prepared remarks so I don't forget anything. So, if there's one thing I've learned so far in my role as city commissioner, it's that people like to talk about the need for change, but really don't like change very much when it comes down to it. And if there's another thing I've learned, it's that we really need to change. From creating a better work environment, to delivering better services and supports to the community, to setting more ambitious goals, to holding ourselves accountable for outcomes, this Bureau needed to change, and we are changing it. We have not been shy about admitting our weaknesses and have spent the last 18 months moving aggressively to implement the necessary reforms. The resolution and ordinance today move us closer toward our goal of having a Bureau that will strengthen the relationship between the city and all of its residents at a time when it is desperately needed. I absolutely believe, and this was quoted earlier actually, that citizens are the riches of the city, and want to express my gratitude to Portlanders who volunteer countless hours to help us govern more effectively, and that certainly includes everyone who's involved with their neighborhood associations. I feel obligated to acknowledge the mistakes and opportunities the city has already missed because of our inability to engage more of our constituents. Our current system, which has excluded renters, people of color, youth, immigrants and refugees, the disability community, and people with a diverse range of gender and sexual identity, is not just by default, but often by design. And this means that our systematic approach to addressing this inequity must happen by design, because it's not going to happen by default. We cannot afford to use public processes, which have often failed to include many of these populations, to maintain the status quo. We as council members need to have the courage to say that we believe our Civic Engagement Bureau has a moral and practical responsibility to engage with and recognize all Portlanders, regardless of how they identify and organize. We need to be clear that this basic principle is not up for debate, so we can begin the hard work of paving the path forward together. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
I'm very pleased to support this resolution, and I'm appreciative of the testimony that we heard today. I think it raised some important and provocative questions. At the end of the day, the resolution for me is common sense. It's very straightforward. It seeks to increase and enhance representation, and it has a focus on those who have historically not been included in important conversations about what our city's strategies and priorities are and how resources are allocated. But my reading of the resolution is that it does not come at the expense of others. It, to me, is a more expansive vision of civic participation, inclusion, and democracy in our city. And it is not inconsequential that I think that also improves accountability of city government. To the degree that people don't feel engaged or they feel that decisions are being made without them and that they are not included, people start checking out. And as you look at democracy generally in America and even here in Oregon, what you see is even when it comes time to cast a vote for ballot measures or for individuals running for office, increasingly people say, why bother? We cannot have that happen at the community level. We cannot have that happen at the neighborhood level. This is collectively all of our community, and as somebody said earlier today, we need to open as many doors as we possibly can. And as I said earlier during the testimony, there is no way I can read this resolution as being anything other than a both-and solution as opposed to an either-or solution. And last but not least, you know, Portland is and I've said this, and sometimes people actually think I'm just being Pollyannish, but I'm not. Portland is actually a city that is looked to as an amazing city, and the facts all bear that out. When you look at the economy, when you look at the companies that are moving here, when you look at the people who are moving here, young and old, and they're moving here for economic opportunity, and they're moving here for lifestyle, and we are growing, and we are diversifying, and yet our neighborhoods are experiencing a lot of the growing pains. For those of us who've been in Portland our whole lives, the city has changed. It's changed dramatically. Some of those changes are really good and really positive. On the other hand, some of those changes are really jarring. We see increased poverty, increased housing and affordability, increased homelessness. We see strains on our infrastructure and strains on our civic infrastructure as well. And cities that will be successful are those cities that can navigate this change from being a smaller city to being a much larger, global, more complex city with all of the opportunities. And believe me, Portland is bristling with opportunities, but also with some of the boils that come along with that growth. And I think, as Commissioner Saltzman said, that it is time that we look at this structure that was originally created in 1974, take a fresh look at it, and ask ourselves, how can we keep the things about the structure that we really like and that we appreciate? And for me, at the top of that list is engaging citizens in a meaningful way to bring their collective strengths, time, talent, energy, and passion to the table and expand the circle of people who want to meaningfully participate in our city. In other words, it's about leverage. It's about leveraging the opportunity that exists by increasing the number and kinds of people who participate in helping our community to be successful. So I'm very proud to support this, Commissioner Udaly. I have complete confidence in your ability to carry this to fruition. Director Ree, I thank you for the work you've done on this. But by virtue of the fact that this is a resolution, this isn't the end of the work. This is really the beginning of the work. It's the beginning of the brass tacks work and the hard work. And I think we had a good conversation today, and we got a diversity of viewpoints. And I know you will internalize those viewpoints and bring us back a great finished product. So I vote aye. The resolution is adopted. Thank you. So, Commissioner.